you work. Spirit of the living God, we ask that you rain fresh in this place this morning. Move every issue, every doubt, every hindrance, every wall, every barrier, God, we believe that you can. God, we know that you will. God, thank you right now for allowing us to make it to the month of November.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
God, some people didn't make it.
Yes.
Some people here in January didn't make it to November. God, we get worried about stuff and situations, but God, let's just take a moment to just thank you that we made it.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Situations ain't what we thought they would be, and stuff can go wrong, and we call that life. But God, the fact that we're here in the room, online, whenever you're watching it, God, we thank you for being God all by yourself.
Amen. Thank you, God.
We are gracious for your presence. We are adore you for your power, God, but we appreciate you for your guidance, God. Thank you. Thank you that even though horse wheels rolled, they didn't roll by my house.
Thank you, man.
Thank you that you've watched over us and you've kept us. And God, as pain has been in bodies and struggle in bank accounts and peace has been disturbed in homes, God, we thank you. That it is as well as it is.
Oh, yes.
And if you've kept us here, if you've maintained us through this time and this season, God, we ask that you rain fresh in this place this morning. That we see you for who you are, the awesome God that you are, that rules and reigns in our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew 25. I'm going to read verses 14 through 30, 14 through 30, quite a bit of verses, but I want to make sure that we get it all. Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30. And it reads like this. First, let me say, this is a parable that Jesus is speaking. If you're reading it out of your Bible, it should be in red. If you have a red letter edition. Parables are an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who has called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. Verse 16, the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. Somebody say to work.
To work.
And gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of the servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold bought 5 more. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share your master's happiness. The man that had received 2 bags of gold, the master said, master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. Verse 23, he replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag came. Master, he said, watch what he says. I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you had not sown, gathering where you had not scattered seed. So I was afraid. I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See here, what belongs to you, his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter seed. Well then, you should have put my money in deposit with the bankers so that when I return, I will receive back what interest. Verse 28. So the bag of gold from him. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them and thrown into the throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to talk about from this thought today, flip the bag. Flip the bag. Here's and flip it. That there's flip the bag is to the urban way of taking an initial investment of one amount, taking it and increasing it for multiple amounts. It's really to take an amount of money to purchase a product at wholesale, break down at retail, sell it at retail prices to be able to purchase more next time at wholesale. I'm helping somebody with business 101. You purchase at wholesale prices, break the product down into retail sizes, sell it at retail prices. And when you sell what you bought at wholesale, at retail, you make more money. And they call that flipping the bag. That's a common thread in the kingdom, that struggle is a sign that you're right with God. People tell you that you've got too much stuff, you must be doing something wrong. Some people think. How do you know that? Because the opposite is true. That when you got all of this stuff, you did something wrong to get it. You're a preacher, you got too much stuff, you must be still in church money. You, come on, somebody.
Yeah, my goodness.
You give too much money to the church, it's a cult. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help somebody.
Yeah, preacher.
You go out and buy you a house, what they doing with that house? They supposed to be. It's amazing to me that people always count your coins in your bag and then tell you when you look in their bag, it ain't none of your business.
Yep, that's it.
I've always been amazed when people go after preachers and talk about how preachers got too much. Yeah, that house, he didn't need all of that house. That's poor people. He could have gave that money to. You got a car. Like, I got a car. Give your money to the poor.
Talk.
Come on, somebody. Lead by example.
Talk. Okay.
Don't tell me how to spend. Y'all don't want to hear me?
Come on. Yeah. Talk about it,
Calvin. I've always, you know, when you talk about flip the bag, that the truth is that God has a way of trusting you with things that are totally and completely his. But he expects you to do something with it. We got time, we got talent, we got treasure, we got stuff, we got influence, we have thought processes and procedures We got a lot of stuff that people don't understand why we do what we do. The Bible says that there's a man going on a journey. In this story, y'all have to understand that parables were given to give you an insight to the kingdom. That what he's literally saying is that Jesus is here, and when he leaves, he's going to leave you with some cards.
Yeah.
And when he leaves, he's going to leave you with some, and he's going on a journey. And he's going to leave you with something, but watch this. He's not just going away. He's going to come back.
Come on now.
And when he comes back for you, you're going to have to give an account to what you did with what he left with you.
Come on.
See, we're fine with God giving.
Make it make sense.
Our struggle is we have a problem with dealing with giving accountability to the stuff that he left with you. But what did you do with it? I understand that the Bible says that if you don't tithe, if you don't give biblically, he'll put holes in your pocket. That means that you didn't tithe because you felt like that was either too much money or you had something to do with the money. And then all of a sudden, your money gets short and you can't even figure out where your money went. I understand the biblical principles for that, and we'll discuss that at another time. I understand that sometimes you don't know where your money went because God came and let the devil run rampage through your house because you wasn't faithful. Y'all don't want to hear me. How do you know? Because you didn't tithe because you needed to pay your car note. And because you paid your car note with tithing money, now your tithe's flat.
My gosh.
Because God has a way of killing other gods. We're in a month of stewardship, y'all. This is the month of stewardship, where I discussed this on Tuesday night, that stewardship literally is to be the housekeeper, the overseer of the things in the house when the house don't belong to you. So if we understand that God is the one that's sent Jesus to go away on a journey, and he left you with some stuff, help us, preachers, to understand how do we flip the bag? Because I got a little bit and I need more. The struggle is, can I help some people out? The struggle is that most of us are fighting with ourselves because we don't know if we 5, 2, or 1. You don't know if you the 5-bag man.
My God.
The 2-bag man. But I'd argue most of us been the 1-bag man.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Understand, in the King James, it calls them talents, and we've used that to manipulate the text because we did not understand what it was. But the word talent in those days did not mean gifts and abilities. It actually was a measuring thing that they used to measure. It was so much gold, not by weight, but by talent. Mm-hmm. So that he weighted the gold by the talent. It's really what we come back and it transferred in old English to change and to mean something else. So it really was amount of weight. So King James really transferred the word wrong, and we've been teaching it wrong. So we thought that this was about gifts. And this was a hypothetical lesson. Taj, it wasn't. He talking about money. He's literally saying, I left you 5 bags of money. Came back and you gave me 10. Left you with 2, came back and gave me 4. Left you with 1, you bring me back a dirty one. Because not only did you not do nothing with it, you buried it. See, we were taught as kids that was your buried talent. You left your gift on the side of the road. You didn't do nothing with it. You buried your talent. No. That's about you that held on to that money. That didn't let no money come in, no money go out. Because you were stingy with it, and you brought God back the same dirty thing that he gave you. And he said, you could have been better than that if you would have just did something. Did something. Got 3 things, and I'm getting this mic to Sheikha. 3 things. Made out of y'all way. First thing you got to do, and it's the hardest one, is recognize who it belongs to.
Okay.
Got to recognize who it belongs to. To recognize whose is it?
Whose stuff is it anyway? See, some of us struggle because 14 says that the master was going away. Watch this. He gave one of them. Wasn't theirs. He didn't say mix mine with yours. He didn't say take yours and do this with. This is mine and I'm giving it to you. Some of us struggle because we didn't claim God's stuff as our own. That's why stewardship is hard for us, because we don't know what stuff is ours and what stuff we give in stewardship over.
My God, right.
Genesis 1 and 1 helps us with that, because it shows us whose stuff all of this is. Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning, God created. So everything that was in creation was the creator's.
Mm-hmm. My God.
So how you taking ownership of the creation
right.
when you wasn't the
creator?
Come on, somebody. Ain't your stuff. How you know? Don't pay the note.
Amen.
You don't pay that note. I promise you. They literally call the word to repossess it. They take possession again over their stuff. And if you don't know that you've been gotten by the repo man, you call the police and he can't bring you their stuff back. Because he's going to ask you, whose is it? Y'all don't try to hear me.
Come on.
You get out there fighting with the repo man behind your car.
My God.
It's your stuff in it that you've been taking selfies in. Y'all don't want to hear me today. That you done got washed up. You done had Omerol put on the tires. You done put gas in that joker. You've did the oil change in it when it was supposed to, sometimes before it was supposed to, because if you didn't get it done then, you wouldn't have the money to get it done when it needed it. You did all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And if them people say, we want it back,
yeah,
you're going to remember who it belongs to.
Yeah, I got it.
Job taught us about it. Job taught us how to not be angry at taking time, because Job said, naked I came, naked I shall leave. I ain't came with nothing, I can't leave with nothing. Why get all of the stuff in the in-between? The Lord gave. Some of us have confused the Lord gave with I'm self-made. And you too cautious to say it out loud, so you put it in your spirit.
My God.
And your actions speak louder than your words. So you start acting like it's yours while communicating that it's God's, and we think you bipolar. Because we don't know when you having an episode. Y'all not trying to hear me today. See, one thing I learned about people with diabetes is that if their sugar is not regulated, that they will have an episode. And the episode isn't the real person. It's them acting out of character because they're not themselves. And the functionings of their mind and brain can't operate like it's supposed to. So they start acting out. Mm-hmm. And some of us, when we ain't got our stuff in check, you ain't got your real spiritual balances in, yeah. And you can't get your... You need some spiritual orange juice. Get your peppermint. You got to keep your stuff by you. Yeah. Because if you don't, you start acting out and you think that this is your stuff. Tying up my stuff as this going on with me. I'm going crazy. The master was going on a journey and he left me with his stuff. Mm-hmm. How do I flip the bag? First, you got to remember it ain't yours. It's his stuff.
Yeah.
See, there's a difference between when somebody mess with your stuff and somebody mess with somebody else's stuff. See, when you mess with my stuff, I can have an attitude about it because it's my stuff. I can't be mad when you start messing with somebody else's stuff. It's only my responsibility to tell you it ain't mine.
Yeah.
But it's in your book, that's not mine. So you might want to make sure you give it back
right.
Because they going to come back looking for their stuff. Y'all been trying to hear me today.
Right.
Can I use this? It's not mine. If you use it, it's on you. But you better make sure it's put back because I got to give a report for for when they come and get. It's like somebody, you know, the best example I got is your work computer at the house. Mm-hmm. And somebody want to use your work computer at the house. And they start typing on your work computer at the house. And you say, wait, that's not mine. That's for work stuff. Mm-hmm. I just need to send an email, but that's not mine. And if you send something on them, they gonna see it. And I'm gonna get in trouble because they didn't give it to you. They gave it to y'all. Not trying to hear me.
Come on, you're speaking fast, I think.
Because there's some people that don't appreciate stuff because they won't appreciate you. But they will appreciate who stuff you're giving stewardship of. Y'all not trying to hear me. They might tab your stuff, but they ain't gonna tab they stuff. Y'all don't want to hear me.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. First thing you got to do is recognize who it belongs to. Second thing you got to do, this is the big one. This is the biggest one. This is it. Handle your business. Handle your business. Time is out for fear dictating how you operate. Can I say it wordly? Because y'all gonna catch that better than fear dictating how you operate. Can I tell you in a way that y'all kind of get it a little bit easier than fear can't dictate how you operate? Scared money don't make money. Man, with five, got you five more. I went, watch this, y'all. I went and you gave it to me. And I didn't add to it, I multiplied it. Y'all missing it.
Come on.
When you put it in my hands, see, when you see, what you have to understand is that the Bible doesn't say that the master gave it to servants. The Bible says that the master gave it to his servants. Mm-hmm. Which gives you a peek into, he knew who he was giving it to.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Which means he had expectations based upon who hands he put it in. To know the ability of the hand. So when he got ready to come back for it, he knew what he was expecting. He didn't give it to one and think he was giving it to five.
My God.
Y'all missing me.
Come on now.
You keep thinking God has expectations that are unfair, but he knows you. So what he put in your hand, he knew you could handle it. Because what kind of master puts unrealistic expectations on you and then get mad when you don't reach them?
My God.
He didn't say, one, I'm going to give you five, give me 100.
Come on.
That would be. Kira, they didn't say, Kira, be me.
Amen.
They didn't say, Kira, you on the day, you preach. You go to Mike, you go. Nobody said that. Nobody said it's your time. It's your turn. Use your talent.
Yeah.
Nobody. Y'all don't want to hear. When I'm saying handle your business, I'm literally saying do you. The best you.
Yes.
Because he knows you. He came back, and when you did what you were supposed to do within the parameters of your ability, he is happy.
Yeah.
Okay, not only did he know you, watch this, he know what he gave you.
Mm.
Okay. Let me cut across the field. Is that some of us struggle because we don't understand that what you need to use, you've already been equipped with.
My God.
Okay. I can't wait till this, so then I can do that. Mm-hmm. No, you already got it in you. Mm. You got to figure out when to tap into what's already in.
That's a piece, right?
Romans 8 and 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy of what's compared to be revealed through me, through us. What does that mean? It means that the glory is already in me. It just got to come out of me. But for it to come out of me, I got to use it. But I don't have to go get it. It's already in me. He didn't say, you gave me five. I took his two and his one. So I only needed two more to make ten. Y'all ain't trying to hear me.
Talk about
it. I use what you gave me. Okay. Moses standing on the side of the sea. Pharaoh behind him. Red Sea in the front of him. Moses says, we're at the end of our rope. God, what are we going to do? He says, what you got in your hand? He didn't say, go find a stick. Go find a rod that you can get comfortable with. Because if you're comfortable with it, then you'll begin to use it. Moses was using the walking stick all
written.
I hope somebody catching this. That the struggle, some of us struggle, have a desire and struggle for more when you hadn't been faithful over what you already got.
Oh, my God.
I want a raise. You ain't tithing off what you got.
My God.
I need a better job. You ain't tithing off what you got. I need people just to walk in and hand me stuff. You ain't tithing off
what you got.
What you got? I need people to appreciate me. You don't get no offering.
Make it plain.
What offering I do with appreciation? Offering is a sign of appreciation. It's what it's literally transferred to. See, like us going to the restaurant. It's when you go eat. The tithe is the bill. The offering is the tip. It's your appreciation for what you, the person that gave it to me, was. So if you want people to appreciate you, God said, but you've not worked your worship into me.
My God.
I need more money. Give more.
Yep.
How do you know? Because seed and harvest. If you put more seeds in the ground, you get more coming out the ground. It's easy. Yep. It's economics. It's agriculture, actually. It's you put more in, you get more out. How do you know? Put more work in. Why do you watch this? But God, I can't depend on that because I can't control that. But you can. The Bible says one plants, one water, but God gives the increase. Do you trust the person that's given the increase? Because you can't control the water or the increase, but you can't control what you planted. Nobody plants a seed that don't look for something.
Amen.
We was buying our house, and in the front of our house there's a tree. Y'all, the tree looks horrible today. It's small, it's flimsy. They got the hold up stuff to tie it down to make sure the wind don't blow it away. Little stakes on the side of it. Little things holding it together. But you know what? In 20 years, that joker's gonna be a tree.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is keep sowing into it.
Yeah.
And a little water here.
Yeah.
Clean it up around it. Put your little mulch on it. Because what you watch this, y'all. What you start off watering, gonna end up giving you shade.
Come on.
You keep trying to figure out what God was gonna do, but you ain't handled your business. This tree just raggedy, just sitting up here. We're gonna pull this up and get something put in. No, you got to do the work. Because one day that same tree is going to be the same thing that's going to cover your house and keep your light bill low, because it stopped all of that light from coming in. It's probably going to get taller than your house. How you know? Because it was designed when it was planted to get bigger.
Yeah, my God. Yeah.
Okay. See, you have to use what you got to get what you want.
My God.
That's it.
I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. Got to use what you got. Get what you want.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to tell you go chasing after every dollar. That ain't what this is about.
Yeah.
This is about being appreciative of what you got and being smart with what you got, because all money ain't good money.
That's right. That part. That's
how
right.
You making your...
Damn.
I'm sorry. All money ain't good. All soil ain't good soil.
Yeah.
Some thrown on stone and some thrown on. See, some of it, you throw it on good soil and other people came and ate it up. But when you put enough down, some gonna come.
Some.
See, the problem is we'll invest in stuff, but won't invest in God. You've been double dutching with God, but you all in for stuff. You didn't loan money to folks, which is weird to me, because the same folks you get mad at
Because you loaned them the money. You mad because they couldn't pay you back, but if they had the money to pay you back, they wouldn't need your money anyway. I can't go into that today. If you handle your business, you'll always be able to use what you got to get what you want. Because God says that he puts it in your hands, and when you come back, it's going to be more. Watch this. If every time somebody in something is around you and it is taking from you, that is not a partner, that's a parasite.
Yeah.
And their attendance there is to live off of you, it's not to live with you. Because what I've learned about parasites is that they attach themselves to you and they stick with you. They ride or die. No wind is going to blow them off. No rain is going to blow them off. As long as you are living and they got something to live off of, they with you. But as soon as you die,
they
go looking for a new host. Partners stay and try to revive you, resuscitate you, bring you back. Because you can't die, because you dying kills the team. So if you're going to handle your business, you got to make sure that where you put it is somewhere that's going to give you. My last point, you got to have an ROI, a return on investment.
Talk about it.
Most of us struggle because we live our lives with the bag in the ground. God gave you a blessing and you hid it. Because I don't want people all in my business. They don't need to know what's happening in my house. If they know everything that's going on over here, then they're going to have something to say. I don't want to hear their mouth. Let me live. It got nothing to do with God. What have you put in the ground? I watched a Facebook Live with some preachers talking yesterday, and one of the things they said was that you come to church to hear a prophetic word that should be confirmation to what God has already spoken in your spirit. So when you heard it, when you put it on the shelf because you didn't know if that was God or not, when you hear it over the pulpit, it is affirmation. So can I confirm something to somebody today? I don't know who you are. Can I speak for a moment? Some of us are struggling because you got dirty bags. That you, God gave you something and you hid it in the ground. This is why it's prophetic, because this is not a word of warning. This is a word of confirmation. Go get it. Because he's going to come back and ask for it. And you put it in the ground to do nothing with it. Because you were scared because you ain't never had nothing that good before. So you said, if I don't put nothing in it, don't take nothing away, when he come back, it's going to be exactly what he gave me. And the problem is that you gave him what he gave you, but his expectations was for you to flip it. He gave you a love for preaching. But did you do something with it? Did you just get up on Sunday mornings and do it? I got to talk about me because I don't want to say ouch to y'all. Y'all say, I'll beat y'all up. God gave you a love for writing. You ain't got no book.
My Lord. Help today.
You have taken time to count up what you have done, what he's given you, but have you flipped the bag? You prayed for the job. He gave you the job. You refused to make it a career. Yeah, marriage takes work.
Come on.
But are you working? Yes, you have identified generational curses, but you have done no breaking.
My Jesus.
I'm walking heavier than y'all.
Yes.
Yes, those kids are crazy. But have you parented you out of them?
Help today. I'm working on.
Yes, you were young and dumb when you made them decisions. But are you old enough and mature enough to handle them today? Yes, when he gave it to you, it shocked you. But can you handle it today. 2 Kings 4, there's a woman that builds a house, a room on the top of a house for the prophet. And the prophet goes in and asks her, is there anything I can do for you? I can speak to the king for you. I can speak to the president. I can do all of this stuff. Is there anything I can do for you? And she said, I don't want nothing. I didn't do it for that. Y'all, and the prophet's servant said, she don't have a son. Because just because he's a prophet don't mean he know everything. The prophet's servant said, she don't have a son. He said, you gonna have a son. She said, don't say that to me. Ooh, I hope I'm helping somebody today. Because some people can see your buried gold in your backyard clearer than you can. Because you was comfortable with it buried back there. He said, within the time of life, you shall have a son. She said, don't tell me that kind of stuff. Don't get me excited. But everything she needed was in the house. All right. Now understand that this was not an immaculate birth. This was a natural thing. So she had to go do some work. To make this come to pass. And when she did the work, the Bible says within the time of life, she bore a son. And see, some of us struggle because you don't understand that the same thing that it took for you to get it is the same thing that it's going to do for you to keep it. Because the Bible says he was outside working with his daddy. And when he was outside working with his daddy said, my head, my head. And he fell over and died. Watch this. The daddy told the servants, take him to his mama. Y'all missed it.
Yeah.
This might be my boy, but it wasn't my promise.
Yeah.
I'm giving stewardship over him in this field, but the person that he belongs to needs to.
Come on. It's her problem. Yeah.
See, some of us struggle with return on investment because you're not ready to give God an account because you've not been all in with him yet.
My God.
I'm through. That's the story of a little boy. He was upstairs in his room. He was sleeping in his bed. Mom was downstairs watching TV. And she heard boom. And he started crying. She ran upstairs. He had fallen out of the bed. She woke him up, put him in the bed. Went back to downstairs watching TV. Boom. Fell out of the bed again. She went upstairs, woke him up. Son, get in the bed. What are you doing? Why do you keep falling out the bed? He said, I don't know. Mama, I just keep falling out the bed. So she sits him on the bed, stands at the door. He lays back down, and he falls back asleep. And he got ready to fall out of the bed again, but she didn't go downstairs. She watched him this time, and she woke him up. And she said, son, the problem is this dead. The problem is that you are, the problem is that you falling out of the bed, but you never got all the way in. And the struggle with most of us is that you falling out of a bed that you didn't get all the way in, and you falling out of stuff. You falling out of issues, and you keep trying to figure out why this isn't working, why this isn't manifesting, why this isn't turning around for you. And the problem is that you did not get all the way
Yeah.
You was double dutching. Called it spiritual, and you was trying to figure God out. You trying, is God in this? I don't know if God is. And he keeps showing himself true. You done seen Mount Figuration, the Transfiguration. You stood at the mountain. You seen blinded eyes open. You seen miracles happen. You seen doors open. You seen things shift and change in your life. And you're trying to figure out where God is, what he's doing, and how he's going to do it. And you keep saying, God, where are you? And he keeps saying, are you looking at me? God teaches us about this being all in the best way possible. I feel Baptist.
Go ahead.
Because one Friday,
all right,
he couldn't give an offering. God required a sacrifice.
My God. Jesus.
He didn't come to stay long. 33 years.
Yeah.
And the Bible says he died.
Yes, my God.
See, this wasn't in a coma. This wasn't passing out. This wasn't anything else. He died. No, I'm trying to tell you that you keep thinking that his getting up is miraculous, but it would have been impossible if he hadn't died.
My God.
No, I understand that we're a new age and new faiths and new believers in Christ, but this too high. Some of us are struggling because you don't appreciate that he died. See, I know that the old Baptist preachers had a certain thing, and they would clear their throat and they would holler right there. But I think you need to understand that the submission to be all in meant he was willing to die.
Yes.
See, you ain't really willing to die if you ain't even willing to give. You know, because John 3:16 says it clearly, for God so loved the world that he love ought to always ignite some giving. How can you love me and not give? How can you love me and not sacrifice? How can you love me and not appreciate the things that I've done, the ways that I've made, the doors that I've opened? How can you love me and don't understand the stuff that I've been through? How can you love me and don't appreciate the ways that I've made, the doors that I've opened? How can you love me and we can't go through nothing together without you doubting if I'm still God and God all? How can you love me? And every time I test you, you tell me I don't love you. How can you say you love me? And every time somebody comes up and rises up in judgment against me, you all of a sudden trying to figure out if I'm where I was when I'm the one that told you to go. How can you love me? How do you love God? You got to go all in. The cheat code, I'm through. The cheat code to being all in with God is this. You cannot